Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 16th day of June 2019. How kind of you to join me, and we're going to look at selflessness, a word I don't think many know much about anymore. I think this particular definition, a concern more with the needs and wishes of others, than one's own needs. That's the definition of it. I don't think it's very popular. I don't think many people think of it. They don't care. And that's a big problem in our country and within ourselves. And I hope you're a selfless person, but we're going to talk about that. I hope you're selflessness enough to become a sponsor to help us sustain our radio program and keep it on the air. We need your tax-deductible gifts. It is the only way we pay the air bill and everything else for this radio program, our TV programs, and everything that we do, my trips to hospice. These are all funded by you, the listening audience. And if you feel like we have helped you, I have done anything to serve you, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our radio and our TV efforts as we move along here. It's a very, very important thing to offer people an alternative to their pedestrian mentality, as it were, their conventional thinking. A lot of people are open to it. They just didn't know it existed. So with this radio program and our TV program, we offer to people an opportunity to see the bigger picture of life, maybe a bigger picture of themselves. It isn't always a pleasant thing, you know, to listen to oneself. It isn't, but I hope that you will become a sponsor and help sustain our radio program. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom, you will see why support Aspire on the main page. And it will tell you all about Aspire, what I do, how hard I work, the things I do to offer to people who have great needs, both in hospice and just in general. I hope that you will become a sponsor. Selflessness. Not a word that most people are much interested in. They're only interested in what they can get, how much they have, who thinks of them, what they think of them. This selfishness that we like to really get involved in creates neurons to fire off in certain ways that make us, well, more concerned about ourselves and then looking at others and helping other people. It's kind of sad. We become narcissists due to it a lot of the time. And I'd say a lot of people that I meet now in this world are narcissists. They think that you have to only be concerned with yourself. And that's why you can do all the yoga postures you want and all the asanas you can think of, and it ain't going to change anything if you're selfish. And yoga is very popular as an exercise, and I think it's, you know, really wonderful. But we have tainted yoga, and we've tainted meditation. We don't even consider an authentic spiritual practice anymore. I mean, why would we? We have so many other things to be concerned about and thinking about. So let's get into it. The first question comes from Robert in San Diego. How can I be selfless? I need to get what I can get that is mine. Is that being selfish? Robert. Well, Robert, in this world, one of the things I have learned is that nothing is mine. Nothing. You work real hard and you earn money, and that money you think is yours, but it goes to the grocery store, it goes to the electric company, it goes to your mortgage or your landlord, it goes to the United States government. Nothing. To cling to anything in this world is a very foolish thing to do. Clinging only shows the state of my misery and my ignorance in this world and in this lifetime. And a lot of us are very ignorant. And the sad thing about it is we want to remain ignorant. We don't really want to change anything about ourselves. We just want to get all we can as fast as we can and then call it macaroni and say, well, that's just the way life is, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't really work that way. You ask, how can you be selfless? Well, to be selfless is to be more concerned with the needs and wishes of others than your own. Would you give me that which you deem you need more than I do? Would you do it? Probably not. I would probably say there's a 99% chance most people wouldn't. Why would you? Then you have to look at the merits of the person. Are you worth it? What are you doing? Are you worth it? You know, when I ask for donations every time, you know, people listen to this radio program, they get annoyed and they say to me, why do you have to do that? Because the very people that are complaining about that are the ones that don't give. And I always say it's because of people like you. You don't give. You listen to the program, you take as much as you can from it, and then you walk away. And you kind of think, well, I got a deal on that one, or I'll try what he says and see if he's full of you know what. And, you know, it's kind of a half-hearted, half-assed way of dealing with a spiritual practice. But who needs a spiritual practice? Because you have to be selfless in it. You have to come to some place within yourself where you see the bigger picture of your life, where you care more about the bigger picture, where you are, who you are, what you are, then you do the idea of surviving in the where you are, who you are, and what you think you are. And that's a very difficult place for people to be in. When you think in terms of why we have difficult lives and why things are difficult in our life, it is because of this very factor that we simply are selfish people. All we're looking at is what we want and how to get what we want. So you're trying to say, Robert, how do I become selfless and still get everything I want? I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how you're going to do that. You can try. Most people do. And they think they get away with it when they get certain things that they just had to have that tells them that they are the person they want to believe that they are, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth of the matter is they haven't changed, they haven't grown, they haven't matured. And later on down the road of life, there's going to be that thing you really need in your life. And it's going to be interesting to see what your karma does with it. How much karma do you want to have in your life in the form of retribution for the things you and I have done? Now, I have to deal with my karma, and you have to deal with yours, and everyone else in this world has to deal with their karma. And it doesn't mean that it's all bad, because it isn't, but it doesn't mean that we get all these wonderful accolades and good things that we want to believe are ours just because, oh, maybe we dropped a few pennies into a homeless person's cup. We really are not prone to giving. America, it used to be really, really beautifully generous, especially when there were great difficulties. But things have changed in the world, and I understand why. The economics have definitely changed. And people think, oh, you know, I don't have the money. And you probably don't. Some people just don't have the money. That's why I go to hospice. That's why I help a lot of people. And it will remain nameless and numberless here. But I help a lot of people who just don't have anything. And the BATMO project that I do, Robert, is to help children who are just poor as dirt. I mean, they don't have anything. They hardly have the clothes they wear on their back. So you have to look around and you have to see how much people need help. And I don't think you're that type of person. You want what you want, and but you want it to be convenient. And that's the way people are about giving. It's okay to give. Sure, I'll give if it's convenient, if you think you can afford it. So would you give me that which you deem that you need more than I do? That's the big one. That's the litmus test. And by the way, if you're dating or you're going out with someone, this is the thing you need to be more concerned about rather than if the person is a hottie or whatever you guys call it now. You need to look, how generous is this person? Because as I always tell women, they should watch how a man tips, because eventually if they stay in a quote quasi relationship with this guy, that's the tip they're going to get eventually. And that usually is a sign of the heart. Give love, seek love. I don't know what to really say to you, Robert. You know, people will say I'm a generous person, but I can find places where they're not, and it has to do with things that they think are the most important things in their life, and they just don't want to really give because they don't see the practicality of it and what's in it for them. So when you start thinking about things like that and the what's in it for me, then you know you've kind of lost your cookies on that. Robert, I don't have anything positive to say. When the time comes for you to understand what you've done to yourself, that will be the moment that you understand what it means to be selfless and to truly give. Until then, it's just a waiting game. It just is. And eventually, you'll see how it all works out, and you can decide. Please forgive me. Namaste. Probably didn't understand a single word I said there. The next question, Kathy. She does not tell me where she lives. I am a selfish person. It is true. It is how I survive. And at the end of the day, I don't feel bad about it. And yet here I am writing you. Am I selfish, Kathy? Well, you admitted you were, so I guess you are. And the sad part about it all is that this is how you think you're going to survive, is off your selfishness. And that in itself is not a good thing, because selfishness is selfishness. What can I say to you? You know you're selfish. You know that it's all about me, 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 me. And in an authentic spiritual practice, one of the things that occurs and one of the things you've got to see is, as Jesus said in his beautiful Beatitudes, you have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, what does that mean, to truly hunger and thirst? Really? Yeah, of course, he's not talking about your physical body hungering and thirsting. You have to want it so much. It's like being hungry and thirsting. You must hunger and thirst for it with all of your might. I mean, this has got to be the thing that is most important to you. But if you really look at it from the point of view of your basic life principles and life situations, I'm sure that you will see without a shadow of a doubt that the only thing that people basically hunger and thirst after is avoiding their fears. And whatever your fear is, Kathy, that is what you hunger and thirst after. So if you're looking at your life and you are hungering and thirsting after the idea of getting what you want, and at the end of the day thinking that getting what you want was the most important thing, and yet feeling guilty about being maybe as selfish as you were to get what you wanted, ouch, that's a big one. And that has ramifications in my life. How does that karma kind of thing work out? Let me give you an example. You're not very good at relationships. You have difficulty in relationships. You have difficulty in dealing with people, less tolerance and patience for them and whatever they're doing. You misconstrue what they're saying, misunderstand, causes great difficulty in your life. You're always manipulating people to get what you want, no matter what is going on. It's always a form of manipulation. So these are things that could be said very bluntly, very plainly, are a big part of what it is to pay the price for being selfish. And people really have a hard time giving, loving, caring. Now, if it's something for, let's say, a cause, like flood damage or fire damage or doggies in the pound or something like that, people find it, you know, easier to give because they feel sorry for whatever's going on. They have sympathy for it and empathy. And while all those things need help, we never go to the core. I was watching this TV program on millennials. I'm trying to understand millennials more and more because I have a few in my group, and I'm trying to understand how they think and what they go through. I'm very concerned about what they go through. This is the weirdest thing to me, and it's about selfishness. They get what they want. They have these apps, and they go out and they have sex randomly with people they don't know. They do a lot of pot, and they do a lot of drinking. Now, I don't know where they get the money for all of this when they don't have any money. The average millennial in their savings account has only $8,000 in there. So, you know, I don't know where they get their dinero, but that there you are. So this guy was being interviewed, this millennial, and he said, I know something's wrong with my life. He's bi, he's alcoholic, and he smokes pot all the time. He works at in a job but where he makes money, but the only things that matter are the things that, like he said, I'm not happy, something's missing, and I do everything I can when I'm not working to be happy. He said, all I want to be is happy. Well, really? Huh. And you can't figure out that your lifestyle is killing you? You just can't figure that out? You know, this is what went on in the 60s when people were smoking and they were getting lung cancer, and they just couldn't understand, you know, why they got lung cancer after smoking for 20 or 30 years. They just wanted to smoke. I remember forget Yul Brynner talking about it in a TV commercial, Don't Smoke. And just before he died, he was talking about it in a way that tried to get other people to stop. Does it? No. Hollywood promotes smoking. The society provokes and promotes selfishness. It's really hard for people to understand when to hold them and when to fold them and what it means to be selfless. You say to a young millennial or a young person, hey, let's go do something selfless. Can you imagine your parents saying to you, let's go work on Thanksgiving Day for a few hours at a homeless center and dish out food for them or help them in some way? No, I don't think so. Ew, Mom, I don't want to do that. Can you imagine every day, if I had had a child, every day I would have... you know, this is the way, another way of looking at it. They would have not just chores to do, but something selfless to do for neighbors or friends or whatever. Would you teach your children that? I don't think so. You don't want to be bothered with them. And they don't explore the parents and how these millennials got to be the way they were in this documentary. But it is interesting to me, human nature. What it does, it just wants to survive at all costs to even itself. It's like we are a virus not only to each other but ourselves, and we just don't mature. We don't grow. We don't expand. So your question, Kathy, is very valid, and it's interesting. You say I'm selfish. It's how I survive. It's how you think you survive. And if the time were ever to come where you did something that you truly loved and would be willing to give it away, to give it for free, to give it your all, your heart, your soul, I don't know what would happen. Maybe something significant could happen. The trick of the trade here is to find that which you love very much and be willing to give it away. I know you don't believe me on this, but it is true. You will be taken care of. I'm a prime example of that. I've had many things come into my life that were very beautiful, extremely beautiful, that I never asked for, that I never thought possible. And it was all in how I handled many things that were seemingly unfair and not what I wanted, and how I dealt with them just to let them go and to love the people that maybe hated me or disliked me or whatever, and forgive those who persecuted and just let them go and let the whole situation go and not have the logical grasp on what people would call a reality that would sustain their survival. Let go, release, forgive, love. That's just the way it is. And it has been in my life. And for it, I am very grateful. Something for you to think about or not. Please forgive me, Kathy. Namaste. And the last question comes from Robert. This is another Robert. We need to be selfish. It gets us what we want and what we need. And the selflessness stuff that you talk about in your TV programs seems to be outmoded. Paul. No, excuse me, Robert. Robert. What I offer on my TV programs that you see on the website are probably not in keeping with your family values and the things that you deem important or that you deem are necessary. And is survival everything? To me, it's how I survive, not that I survive. I can survive, you know, I can, but it's how I survive that really matters. Do I survive at the cost of my heart, at the cost of my soul? Is that worth it? For a lot of people, it is. Their heart, their soul, there's the substance of who they are. It doesn't matter. Most people don't want to awaken spiritually. They don't want to awaken at all. They don't see any value in it. We come up with these theories about how we live and the way we live. Like, you live and then it's lights out and it's over and nothing more will ever happen to you. And of course, all of that is just an excuse we've made up so we don't have to live in the way, the truth, and the light. We don't care to understand the way life works. And even though I've written about it, I've done TV programs on it, I've done radio programs on it, you can't get anybody to listen because whatever it is that people are afraid of is how they live. They make a philosophy, or even a religion, out of fear. And fear is the only religion that works on this planet. We go to the temple of fear inside of us day in, day out. How far will you go to be kind? How far will you go to awaken? How far would you give? How much would you give? Most people wouldn't give anything. They don't want to give anything. They think they earned it and they have the right to have it and that's the end of the game and other people shouldn't have it, blah, 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 blah. And it just goes on and on and on to nauseam. And that's the way it works for most of us. And we miss the meaning and the substance of our life. And because we do, we suffer eventually that causality and that duality that creates so much what I call spiritual mischief. So, Robert, you do what you do. You live the way you live. I mean, it'll all be there for you. Well, at the end and at the next life and the next one, it's a continuum. Everything will be there for you. Everything you've ever said, thought, done, whatever. It's all there. And it's usually the way people live, and there's nothing more I can say about that to you. I wish you well. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for listening. Be back on the air next week. Have a beautiful weekend. And again, of course, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.